you take someone else's words and you polish them and you make them flow better so that they're publishable. And often I would find people would bring me something that they thought was ready to be edited that was nowhere near ready to be edited. And so then I'd start saying, all right, well, if I were going to write this book, here's how I would do it. And often I would do this in a writing workshop where I'd start working with one person who had asked a question. And then all the rest of the participants would say, well, hang on, because I had that problem too. And so we would end up going through a how to polish your words and how to perfect them. And so pretty soon I realized what I really like doing is giving you the tools. And there's thousands of cheats and tips and tricks and techniques and ways to get your words out. Sometimes people know what they want to say, but they don't know how to start and they're afraid of the blank page. Sometimes people can throw a lot of words on the page, but then they're not sure where to start organizing them. So a lot of teaching someone how to write a book is being able to break it into different parts.
Well, welcome back to the Small Business Startup Essentials podcast, where we dive into the topics of starting and growing your own online personal brand business. If you'd like to learn how you can have a portable online business and make money no matter where you're living, or maybe you just need some help getting clients, then this podcast is for you. I created my signature coaching program, Solopreneur Success Plan, and you can get on the waiting list at tomclaremont.com/coaching. But now let's get right into this episode. Well, welcome to another episode. Thanks for being with us today. I have with me another very special guest from Southwest Michigan, Amy Hendrickson. Now, Amy is an author coach, and she helps thought leaders write books worth putting their name on. She teaches simple, repeatable processes that help new authors produce polished manuscripts. From equestrian empire builders to entrepreneurs, many of her clients are best-selling authors. She's also written award-winning screenplays and stage plays. So, if someone ever told you, you need to write a book because you've got this idea or story in your head and you've been thinking about getting it out of your head and on paper, but just not sure what the process is. And maybe it seems like this huge mystery of a process. Amy is the go-to person for getting it done. And she'll help you in a way that you're going to enjoy this whole experience, right? She makes the whole experience easier than you might think. So, Amy, thanks for taking some time today to share your story and to hear how you went from writing in your career to having a business, showing others how to be a first-class writer themselves.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thanks, Thomas, for having me.
So, according, I was checking out your website and your LinkedIn profile. Now, you wrote several books, according to your website, right? But you used to be a teacher.
Well, I started, so my degrees, yes, are in English and education, and that was the plan. And I was a private teacher for many, many years, but I was also a freelance writer, and they overlapped. I got my start in writing, like the books on my website show. I was a ghostwriter for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I would write, if you had a great idea and weren't sure what to do, if you came to me, I would write your book for you. I don't do that much anymore because what I really enjoy doing, it ended up being like the old adage, if you give a person a fish, they eat for a day. But if you teach them to fish, they eat for a lifetime. And I realized if I write your book for you and it's successful and you want to write another book, you still don't know how to do that. And you're still going to have to come back to me or someone else to do it for you. Mm. And that was whenever I pivoted into teaching other people how to write their books and leading them through the process. And I haven't really looked back. I rarely do ghostwriting anymore. I really enjoy teaching people how to do it themselves.
Yeah, well, I can certainly see that that would be a dilemma for people when they have their first book out and they still don't know how to write.
Right.
They can't even talk about how they wrote it.
No, they can't even talk about the process. No,
they can't. They can show the book to people. Right. They can sell it, but they can't even talk about it.
Right. Well, it's still, so to be clear though, if you hire a ghostwriter, it's still your book. It's still your words. And, and you know, as a ghostwriter, my job is to make sure that the book sounds exactly like you and not like me. But so you're still an expert in the area that the book is in, whether it's neuroscience or neurosurgery. I wrote a book for a neurosurgeon once. Or it's horse training or finance or real estate or your memoir. It's still yours. However, you don't know how to write, how to do it again. It's not a repeatable process. You have to find someone to help you. And that's where a book coach works with you and shows you how to write a book so that every word is really yours.
Right, right. So did you start writing at a young age or was that something that... How young?
Very, very young. I wrote terrible poetry when I was like 5 or 6. Yeah.
So this was something that was ingrained in your psyche then, right?
Oh, like, yeah. I always wanted to be a writer.
Writing flows for you.
I always wanted to be a writer. Absolutely. Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. That was one of the reasons I come from a long line of teachers. And it was one of the reasons that I went into education. While I love teaching, I also had convinced myself because I was young and not terribly aware of how much work went into the summer times. I thought, well, if I was a teacher, I could have my summers free to write, which is,
I married a teacher.
I know. My mom was a professor, and it's like, I don't know why I thought that I would be different, because I saw, like, she even took papers to grade with us when we went on vacation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vacation is a time to catch up on work.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we won't get into that. But when did you realize that you were ready to turn your skills into a business, though?
Oh, well, so I have been a freelance writer, writing for other people or writing or a copywriter for 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I taught as well. I taught while I was also freelancing. Most freelance writers don't write full time. They write when they can. And so it's not like you're sitting behind the desk for 40 hours a week. And so I taught, I was a private teacher, and then I wrote some too, and then I did my own thing. So turning it into a business really happened when I would say sort of the genesis of it. I had worked for myself for about 10 years, but the genesis of turning it into something that I could support myself and support my family happened in 2003 and 2004. I was expecting my first child, and I had been to a horse clinic about 4 years earlier with an up and coming rider trainer. And I had the worst horse at the clinic. I knew he was terrible. He was absolutely awful. And that's why he went to the clinic, because I had grown up riding and training. I knew my way around a horse, and this one really had me flummoxed. So I took him to the clinic, and this young trainer did a really great job with him. He fixed him. He fixed him permanently. The horse went on and lived a long and happy, productive life, and didn't have to go down the road. So we got talking. This was in 1999. We got talking, and the trainer asked what I did. And I said, I mentioned that I was a writer because I had just finished a screenplay at the time. I had a couple books that I had done, but they were all mine. But I mentioned I was a writer, and he goes, oh, that's interesting. He said, because this publisher had been contacting him to do a book. And I'm like, well, that's typically not how it happens. Usually you have to chase the publisher down. But he was absolutely right. One of the top equine publishers had contacted him and wanted him to do a book. And so I said, well, if you need help writing it and you're ready, give me a call. And 5 years later he did. So 5 years later, wow. I'm waiting, you know, it's like he knew he didn't have the capacity to do it. He just didn't have the time, energy, or inclination, but he wanted that book out there. He had a couple TV shows. I mean, he was quite well known. He had his little empire he was building then.
5 years later?
Yeah, 5 years later. Yeah, he was very, very young when I met him.
So he remembered what you said 5 years ago?
My horse was that memorable.
Did I say that? Did I offer to help you?
Well, when he called, my husband was quite ill at the time. And here I was supposed to have my child before the end of the year. And he called right at Christmas time. So I was about 9.5 months pregnant, and he's like, yeah. So he says, do you want to, you know, this publisher wants to do my book. Do you want to write my book? And I'm looking around thinking, yes, I do. Yes, I definitely want to write your book.
but how can you be creative when you're 9.5 months pregnant? I mean,
so I was still writing. I mean, a writer writes all the time. It was so, wow. That was not really a problem. And so for the next few years, I wrote his book that went on and was very, very successful. And so, then he had other things that he wanted written. I had done some script writing. And so he wanted somebody to do scripts for, he did promotional things. He had several sponsorship deals, and he needed somebody to write his scripts for him. So for several years, while my husband was extremely ill and we were sort of going through this, I had this infant and I had a very sick spouse. And so it was really nice to be able to work for somebody who I knew their voice and I believed in what he did. Like I knew that he was the real deal. And so that was how I got my start. And then the publisher that I wrote his book for liked the work that I did and hired me then to write several other books after that.
Wow. That's quite a start. But there's a difference between writing for a publisher or writing for a person and then coaching somebody else, right?
Yep.
Like, because some people, I think a lot of people, they're like, I think I'm really good at what I do, but am I good enough to have a business, right?
Right.
So how did you discern, how did you go from I'm good enough to have it, my skills as a business?
I've always been very confident in my ability to put words together on paper, and I'm comfortable teaching. And so for many years I would do writer's workshops and they would be little local things, maybe at the local community college or the library or something like that. And so, and I've also done a lot of editing. And when you edit, you take someone else's words and you polish them and you make them flow better so that they're publishable. And often I would find people would bring me something that they thought was ready to be edited that was nowhere near ready to be edited. And so then I'd start saying, all right, well, if I were going to write this book, here's how I would do it. And often I would do this in a writing workshop where I'd start working with one person who had asked a question, and then all the rest of the participants would say, well, hang on, because I have that problem too. And so we would end up going through a how to polish your words and how to perfect them. And so pretty soon I realized what I really like doing is giving you the tools. And there's thousands of cheats and tips and tricks and techniques and ways to get your words out. Sometimes people know what they want to say, but they don't know how to start and they're afraid of the blank page. Sometimes people can throw a lot of words on the page, but then they're not sure where to start organizing them. So a lot of teaching someone how to write a book is being able to break it into different parts, and how that translates into a business is I would talk to people and say, oh yeah, well, I just, you know, I'm working on this book client. And they would say, oh, I need to do that too. Or I want to write a book too, but I want to do it myself. And that would, then we'd have a conversation about like, well, what would that look like if I showed you how to write your book yourself? There's still going to be gaps in your knowledge, but most of the work is going to come from you. And I'm just going to show you how to do it. And it's like, well, if I can coach you through writing a senior thesis, I can certainly coach you through writing a book.
Yeah. So it sounds like it was a natural process for you, because one thing led to another.
Yeah.
You were sort of already doing it on this personally, and you know, helping people in these little workshops, and then you just took it to another level. And
that's exactly right.
So that's great. Yeah.
And if you want to know like when that happened, honestly, I've been trying to think like who the first person that I coached I honestly can't remember. I've had some clients who have written fiction or who've developed whole series, and I've worked with them for years and years and years. Usually what happens with a book coach and with me and with the other book coaches I know is once we have a client who works with us and they know the process, then they still continue working with us because then we're the first editorial line of defense. And so, you know, it's like we all have our blind spots, and I have some clients who can be quite verbose on paper. And so they know my process and they'll get the words out, but then they'll send me the book and I will help them pare it down. I have some clients who need help with developmental editing. And so once you've written one book, you understand many of the different processes or many of the different things that go into making a book. And so you know where your strengths and your weaknesses lie. And then your book coach can come in and help fill in the weaknesses and strengthen those so that when you're ready to go to publication, your book is real strong.
So what do you think is like the most common misconception that wannabe authors have about the writing process?
Oh, it depends. I find that wannabe authors, and I don't like that term. Potential future authors, not wannabes. So here's the problem with wannabes. Talk about it and never do it, right? Talk about it and never do it. That's why I don't like the phrase aspiring author, right?
Okay.
The only person who is an aspiring writer is someone who thinks about it and never starts. Mm. If you've started, you are a writer. Mm. Okay, so what are some of the processes that misconceptions are the biggest issues? One of the biggest problems that people face is that they need to produce a polished draft right off the bat. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Nobody produces a draft right off the bat. One of the problems is publishing is an extremely convoluted, obtuse, and archaic and confusing industry, and it's changing rapidly. And there's a lot of sharks out there because people want their books out and they don't know how to start. And so whenever you have a population that has this sort of driving need, but they don't know how to fill it, there's always going to be people who come in and prey on that. And there are a lot of predators out there. So not understanding how the publishing industry works, I would say, is probably one of the bigger blind spots. And your book coach can help you navigate through the publishing industry, whether you decide to go with traditional publishing or whether you decide to self-publish or whether you decide to go with a hybrid. The average new author has a very clear idea of one part of the process and is usually fairly myopic about the rest of it. So for instance, they might be really, really clear about the fact that they want to hold their finished book and hand it out to friends and family, but they haven't really thought about how long it's going to take them to get there. And they also haven't thought about what to do after that. Like after your friends and family have it, how are you going to market it? Some people are really clear about what they want to say. They want to leave a legacy. They want the writing done, but then they're not sure what to do with it after that. And so a lot of what I do is educating people about what their next steps are, what their options are, and helping them connect the dots so that they can be successful, whatever that might look like. So for a lot of authors, being successful is finishing their book and then finding a quick way to get it published so that they can hold it in their hand and get it out to people who love them. And often that is what success looks like. Some people want to be a bestseller. And whatever that means, that has many connotations too. Yeah. A bestseller in a category, a bestseller in a genre, a bestseller where and how, and how, why is that important to you? Like you can be a bestseller if you only move like 100 copies or so, if you choose a particular category. So often a lot of what I do is asking people like what their ultimate goal is for having the book done. And then we work toward making that a reality.
So do you have a preference between, you know, self-published or traditionally published?
No, I don't. I've helped people write books that will be published by traditional publishers. I have worked with traditional publishers under their umbrella, and I've worked quite extensively with hybrid publishers, and I've worked with people who self-publish. So those three are all valid depending on what you want to do. It is getting more and more difficult to find a traditional publisher, especially a larger one, because they typically require a platform and they require you to bring your own marketing to bear with you, which is fine, because if you've already got that dialed in, and all you need to do is write the book, then we can talk. But if your goal is that you have no platform, you've never written a book before, no one knows who you are, and you expect to get published by Simon & Schuster, that's very unlikely. And we should probably discuss like maybe what your real ultimate goal is for your book, because there are faster and easier ways to get your book in print than holding your manuscript in your hand and hoping that one of the big five takes a look at it.
So typically, is the goal to get the book out to sell, or is it just to get it written to fulfill a dream of the author?
It depends. Let me give you an example of two different clients that I've got. All right. So client one, I've been working with him for about a year. His book is finished and it is at the printer. I mean, it's with the publisher right now. He is going with a very niche sort of self-publisher. All right. They're like a hybrid. So he took his project to them. They are doing the cover. They're doing the layout. They're doing basic marketing, but the bulk of the marketing is going to be his. Now his whole book is about his father's experience as a conscientious objector and trying to find and maintain conscientious objector status during World War II. His father and his father's and his grandparents were really involved in the cooperative movement in the Midwest. And his father literally traveled the entire country doing all sorts of really interesting things. He was part of the Forestry Service. He was not incarcerated, but he was in a work camp for a while because he refused to bear arms. And he was also really interested in sustainable living and ethical living way back then. This client of mine found his father's FBI files whenever he was cleaning out the attic. And that was what sort of kicked this whole thing, you know, the book off. So he wrote his father's biography. It's very well done. He did a really good job. He did a lot of research. He's got the evidence to back it up, and he had family files and all sorts of like primary sources to be able to back up this story. So he looked into some traditional publishers, and then he realized that even if he found a small press to take it, the whole reason he wrote the book was for his family and for some of the organizations that his father had been really instrumental in and involved in. So he looked at the timeline, and he realized that even if he found a traditional press to publish his book, it would take quite a while to get into print. And then the press, if anything sold, the press would take quite a bit of the profits. So he thought, well, you know what? What I really want to do is I've got the contacts. I've got all of these people who know my dad, who knew his father and were interested in him. And so he decided to go with a very small hybrid publisher that doesn't do a lot of marketing, but that does a fairly decent job of putting the book together. And then his next step is putting together a marketing plan for himself to get the book out there. So essentially, he has full control over everything. He has full control over the cover and what the layout looks like. And then he's going to gear up his own marketing campaign. And that was the best choice for him.
Hey, just a quick reminder here that if you're frustrated or struggling with your online business launch, or if you just hit a wall with sales and you'd like some help with those topics, you can go to tomscalendar.com. It'll flip you right to my online calendar for the time that I donate to help people just like you. That's tomscalendar.com, okay? So let's get right back to the episode.
Now, a second client, he is at the top of his game in a pretty niche field. He has the book that he's working on, and he has two others in the pipeline that he wants to do when he gets this one done. His whole goal is to move copies. That's his whole goal, right? He's not worried about holding it in his hand or giving it to his wife and kids. He wants to get this book in the hands of people who need it. And so I'm helping him write it, but rather than find, say, a niche hybrid publisher, he's going pretty much straight to the marketing company that he plans to publish his, that he plans to market his book. And then they're helping him publish it, so that, but always with the goal to marketing and selling as many copies as possible. Nice. Two very different approaches.
Yeah. It's safe to assume that the more marketing you want to put into this project, the bigger your pockets need to be, right?
Yeah, it is. And honestly, that doesn't come to me at all. I am not a marketer. Yeah. I do copywriting for some hybrid publishers, and I'm always transparent. If I recommend a hybrid publisher that I have worked with before to a client, I always tell them, yeah, I've worked with these people before. They, you know, I do the back cover copy or I do marketing copy. But in everything in publishing, even if you go with somebody big like Random House, Random Penguin, Penguin Random House, or if you go with Simon & Schuster or Macmillan, those big five, they expect you to have your marketing in play. They expect you to do most of the marketing. Yeah. If you self-publish, no one's going to hear about your book until you either hire a marketing company or you really do a good job of marketing it yourself. And if you go with a hybrid publisher, the same thing, they will do some marketing for you, but most hybrids will only help you with the book launch unless you contract with them for something more specific. So as you're writing your book, your goals for what happens once that book is done need to be really, really clear. The sky is the limit, but you're absolutely right. If you want to move thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of copies, you will absolutely need to have a marketing company that knows what they're doing, and that will cost you.
Yeah. And the whole concept of being on a bestseller list, I mean, really, it's the best marketed book, right?
Often,
it usually means it's very well written, but bestseller means
not even
best,
at all.
Best marketed, right?
Yeah. Bestseller has nothing to do with how well written it is.
Oh, okay.
There are terribly, terribly written books that are bestsellers. It has everything to do with how well it's been marketed. Yeah. And also, there are some bestseller lists that are closed to certain people. So the New York Times bestseller list is specifically for books that sold in bookstores and at certain times in certain places. I mean, you can't just self-publish a book and publish it on Amazon and get on the New York Times bestseller list. It doesn't happen. There are others that are more open that you could get on. And there are a lot of ways to game the system. So if it's important for an author, I just had this conversation with a publisher actually. And if it's important as an author for you to have that bestseller badge, most decent publishers can show you, can tell you how to get it, right? And it has to do with choosing the proper category and choosing a launch date when you're not up against somebody big, right? But then it's a matter of staying power. So a bestseller, if you're a bestseller for 2 hours on Amazon in a category that no one's ever heard of, that's not going to help you in the long term. What most good marketing companies are going to do, and really what most publishers will ask you is the badge important? Is it important to be a bestseller, or do you want to move copies? Those are usually two separate things.
And is the concept of bestseller more of a gimmick nowadays?
Yeah, because it kind of is.
You know, you can publish your book in Bulgaria, you know, between the hours of midnight and 1 a.m. and you're the bestseller in Bulgaria. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems to be like this gimmick of just so that you can say you were a bestseller, right?
It can be. I mean, honestly, here's the thing, right? Number one New York Times bestseller, that absolutely holds weight.
Yeah.
Number one Wall Street Journal bestseller holds some weight. But if you just start saying bestseller, Amazon bestseller is really overused, because Amazon has hundreds and hundreds of categories. And so it doesn't really take a whole lot to be a bestseller in your category. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a number one Amazon bestseller, that also holds weight, but rarely will, you know, that's not usually going to happen, because you're up against things like Shakespeare and the Bible.
So what are some pitfalls? What are some of the things that people need to look out for when they deal with publishers?
Oh, how much time do you have? All right. So in essence, let's do this. This is probably the best way that I can say. What do people need to look out for when they're dealing with publishers? First of all, it should never be an adversarial relationship. If you find that you are feeling like you are surrounded by sharks or lions, and you're dealing with your publisher, you are with the wrong publisher and you need to leave. Your publisher should absolutely be an ally. They should be a trusted confidant. They should be somebody whose advice and expertise that you really, really trust. So things to watch out for, all right? Things to watch out for include if they put a name as their title that makes you think that they are affiliated with a larger publisher. So for instance, Random House, or Penguin Random House and Amazon, I believe, they both have, there are lists of scam and fraud publishers that are known bad actors. And do a little bit of your research and look up and see if the publisher that you're considering that sounds like it's too good to be true might be listed on some of these fraud alerts and scam alerts. If it has Amazon, if it has Penguin, if it has Random, if it has Simon in its title, and it's not obviously affiliated with these big publishers, it's probably worth looking much, much, much more closely at. Something else to look at is hard sell, right? Most of the publishers that I work with have a lot of work coming in. I mean, there are a lot of people publishing books. There's a lot of work out there. And so if you have a publisher that's doing a real hard sell on you, you need to sign now and you need to give them your credit card now, and it's going to be a long drawn out process. I would be very concerned about that too. You want to ask them for their track record. You want to ask a publisher how they work with things like deadlines. What if something comes up what if something unforeseeable comes up? Will you be charged if, for instance, you have a death in the family and have to put the project on hold? Is that going to ding your credit card, or how is that going to affect you? You want to make sure that this is a business relationship. Every book is like a new business. Every book is like a startup. And a lot of them don't perform all that well, because often, like with startups, the authors haven't really thought ahead about what they're going to do once the book is done. They just get excited about the creation process, right? And so if you're looking for a publisher, you want to find someone who you don't feel pressured to make a decision, that you feel confident that they can deliver. And then something that always astounds me is best advice I can give you. If you're considering signing with a hybrid publisher or a small press, order at least two separate copies of titles that they have published. Hold them in your hand. Get physical copies of them if you intend to publish as a paperback or a hardcover. Hold them and look and make sure that they're recent. So if you're intending to publish with them, order a book that they've published in the last 6 to 9 months and look at it and look at the quality of it and see if that's something that you would be happy if that was your book.
Yeah, for sure. But how do you decide what book format to pick? Because I got a lot of books on my shelf over here, and they're smaller and they're larger, and a lot of them have different design elements to it. How do you decide on that?
Yeah. Well, it depends. The only time you need to decide on that is if you are self-publishing. So the only time you need to decide on that is if you self-publish. You can be involved in the decision whenever you're working with a hybrid publisher. And if you're working with a traditional publisher, they usually make the call. So as far as the difference, the sizes, if you self-publish, it can be really, really overwhelming. They're all different trim sizes. There's different formatting. The layout is confusing. I have a client right now, actually, and I just got a text from her yesterday, and she is publishing a young adult novel. And she had decided that she was going to self-publish it because it was the cheapest route. And it is. She's absolutely right. Self-publishing is the cheapest route. But learning to format a book correctly there's a reason people do it for a living. It's not that easy. There's a huge learning curve. And so she texted me saying, I am never doing this again. The next book, I'm hiring somebody. So sometimes once you've done it yourself, you realize that there's a reason why it costs to hire a professional.
But there's apps out there, right? Like, I know there's one called, actually it's called Designer. Out there that will format your document into different book layouts. Do you have any preference? Do you have any favorites?
Absolutely. Human beings.
Okay.
Human beings. Absolutely. There's no way I would trust my book design to an app. I just wouldn't. I have a book. I have a personal book right now that is it's a chapter book. And so it has a reader level it has a fourth grade reading level, and it is intended for reluctant readers. So I self-published it as an ebook because at the time I was teaching a class and I wanted to make sure that I still understood Amazon's self-publishing or ebook publishing policy, because it changes all the time. And so now I'm like, all right, well, I have another client who is going to be doing a paperback. And I thought, all right, I really want to recommend this particular designer, but I've never actually used them before. I've seen their work, and they work with really reputable traditional presses, but I've never seen their freelance stuff before. So I don't know how much oversight they're getting at work. So I hired them to do my book. And as we got talking, a professional designer is going to look at everything about your book. It's going to look at the subject matter. It's going to look at the historical period, if that's relevant. It's going to look at the length. It's going to look at it's there. I say it. A professional designer is a person. He or she is going to know other books that are in your competition. They're going to know the best font to use. They're going to know the best way to present that font. How many words should be on a page for your ideal readership? No app has that capability.
Wow.
Yeah, it is getting a very good readable book that is user-friendly and reader-friendly is, it involves so many moving parts that I like working with a professional. And then also this professional typically will often, not always, but in this case, they're also working with the cover to make sure that the cover and the interior layout all work together. They don't always. Sometimes a cover designer is separate.
So it sounds like the professional designer does still some level of editing.
No, they don't do any editing. It's only layout.
But I don't mean editing as in changes, but there's the thought process that they put into it. You know, they're going to make decisions that affect the manuscript. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Formatting
that's
is
what
a
I
huge
meant.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Presentation is enormous. Yes. Yes.
Do they decide what graphics or images go in it as well? Or do they recommend, like, because it could be just words on a page, right? But then you need to have some sort of design element to it, right? Where there's
Yes.
there's some sort of graphics or you know, page divider that has some sort of a design to it or whatever, right? I mean,
Right.
there's elements to it.
There's a lot of elements to it. When I was working with, so the press that I worked with for a long time and did some ghostwriting for was Trafalgar Square, and they published horse training books, and their designers were so meticulous. Each book had essentially a color scheme, and it was something I had never considered before because they did full color hardcover books mostly on horse training, and so for instance, your titles were one particular design, and then your subtitles were another design, and then each individual breakout or your sidebars or something, each of those were a separate design element, which it's true you can use an app to do that, but an app can't take the place of somebody who has a design background. And as a word person, I can always tell when somebody comes to me and has run their project through ChatGPT first and thinks their book is done, because it's awful. And it's like, no, we need to start all over again now because it's muddied the waters. And I have a feeling that that's probably the same thing that happens with these design apps. Now, can you do it yourself? Of course, nothing's keeping you from doing it yourself. But the more you do yourself, realizing that publishing as an industry, again, has so many moving parts. There are editors, and there are different layers of editors. There are designers, interior designers. There are cover designers. There's all sorts of people who have a niche profession that is involved in making a book presentable. So if you decide to do that all yourself, expect that you're going to have either a huge learning curve on each aspect of your book, or your book is going, the quality is going to suffer somehow.
Yeah, I've definitely seen book covers that are terrible, you know, and like they did it in Microsoft Word, you know, 1990 version, you know what I'm saying?
It doesn't matter. You know, I got to tell you, we have this conversation with clients all the time, though, those of us in the publishing industry. It doesn't matter if you have the most recent version of the best app out there. It's still, if you don't have a background in whatever it is you're doing, whether it's layout, design, formatting, graphics, whatever, you're not going to know when something is good and when something is better. Yeah.
Yep. We all think our work is fantastic.
We do. And covers are a perfect example. What you just said, where you've seen covers that looked terrible. It's true. It's like, I can have a really great, program, but I'm not a designer. And so when I work with designers, I will tell them my idea and I'll say, this is what I have in mind, but you need to tell me, you need to push back if that's not a good idea. And then we work together. And that's another wonderful thing about the publishing industry. Although, if you go with a traditional publisher, often they have your IP and they will often make the decisions for you. You sometimes have a say, often or more often than not, you don't, especially when it comes to cover and interior. But if you're with a hybrid or if you're self-publishing, all those decisions are yours. You have final say.
Yeah. Just to be clear, you said IP. You're talking about intellectual property.
Intellectual property, yes. I'm sorry, yeah.
Amy, I could talk to you all day about this. Oh, my gosh. So in sort of finalizing this conversation that I don't want to end, what would you say to somebody that maybe just needs a little oomph of confidence in writing? In getting their initial draft out?
Oh, that's a good question. So what would I say to somebody who needs some confidence in writing? Typically, if you have a story that you want to tell, there's a reason you want to tell it. Nobody else in the world has that story that is tugging at them. And when I say story, it could just be you teaching about how you made it in the real estate industry, or how you invested your money wisely and were a millionaire by the time you were 30 or 70 or whatever. So it's your personal story. So the advice that I would say is, if you don't have the confidence in it, the best thing you can do is tell a friend about what you would want included in the book and just start talking and record that. right? Well, in the first chapter, I think I'd like to talk about this. I want to make sure that I cover this, that, and the other thing. And I don't want to forget this, this, and this. I don't want it to be about this, but I want it to be about that. And I want to make sure that my reader understands blah, blah, and blah. And practice just telling somebody about what would, or talking to yourself about what would go in that book. Record that and transcribe it and have, you know, there's a billion transcription things out there. And AI will get a lot of the transcription wrong, but it'll get a lot of it right. And that will give you the core words that you can then look at, and that gives you the basic content that you can then start to work with. It'll help you see where you need to maybe bump up your information if it's not clear. It'll help you see if you've repeated yourself a couple times, or if you end up on a tangent. It'll help you see that if you've strayed from what you started talking about. But if you do that, that's a really good way to get your core content compiled, realizing you are not writing your book yet. So the best thing I can tell anybody is spend some time identifying what your book is about. And I tell all my clients, we don't start writing Word One until you have a single sentence. You need to think about what your book is, identify what the genre is, identify the scope of the book, and figure out what the promise is that your book holds for the reader. So for instance, in your case, if it's like, I want the genre, let's say, to be self-help or how-to. And the scope is going to be how to establish your own business in an authentic way that doesn't break the bank, okay, or something like that, all right? And establishing a new business on a shoestring, let's say, right? Yeah. And the promise for the reader can be without breaking the bank, or be up and running in under 6 months, or 50 apps you can use for free, something like that. So there's some sort of promise then that if you put that whole sentence together, it's a framework for establishing a small business, or for establishing your own business on a shoestring, including 50 apps that you can have for free and be running by, you know, up and running by in 3 months or something like that. No one else is going to see that sentence, but that sentence then forms the framework and the foundation for your book. So as you get writing, that's all you're going to talk about, is just what's encompassed in that sentence, so that it keeps you from straying and from following shiny new objects. And it also helps when you tell people you're writing a book and they ask what it's about, you have that sentence you can pull out and you can tell them about it. And it gets you comfortable talking about your topic.
Excellent advice. Well, Amy, if somebody wants to contact you, what's your favorite way for people to get a hold of you?
They can do one of two things. They can go to my website, which is amyhendrickson.com. It's Amy with an I, A-M-I, Hendrickson, H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-S-O-N.com.
I'll put your contact information in the show notes.
Yeah, because people go, oh, is there an X in your name? No, there isn't. And I'm also,
are you related?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I've discovered there's about 9,000 ways to spell Hendrickson and none of them are right. Or on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn, and that's a really great way to contact me, to connect with me.
Well, friends listening in, I'll put Amy's contact information in the show notes. Please, if you're thinking about this process, Amy, as you just heard, is the go-to person for writing your book. Amy, thanks for sharing your story with us today.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Hey, friend, that's all we have for this episode. Thanks for listening. Now, if you're struggling with your new solopreneur business and maybe struggling with sales in 2024, it's probably because things are getting a little too complicated and you might be wasting a lot of time and a lot of money in the process. It's very possible that the solution is just tweaking one or two things that you're already doing. Now, there's no one-size-fits-all solution, right? So let's schedule a time to talk about this and what will work for you. Go to tomscalendar.com and book a time slot for us to connect. Okay? So as always, though, stay encouraged, follow your dream, and don't give up.